From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and piña coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand, just dreaming, sitting.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 3rd of August, 2015.
You have an incoming transmission.
The revolution will not be televised.
The voice of news information has
the purpose of this program is to bring vital news.
I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
He is the most interesting man in the world.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
And hello to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm associate producer and co-host Terry Weeks.
I am sure. Totally.
If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong.
And hello, Seattle. This is not Dr. Frasier Crane. This is Chelsea Kingston Rebecca from Spectrum 360, hoping everybody's having a dry evening. We're having a fun evening. Back to Mark in the booth.
There's something screwy around here.
Could be you, Doc.
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2015 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. On Spectrum 360, in this edition for Monday, the 3rd of August, 2015. Focus of this program is politics and media. Segment 1, live and recorded. A Spectrum 360 news segment on the End of the Ed show on MSNBC. Spectrum 360 will play the audio of Ed Schultz's goodbye message, posted on his podcast website. And just for your information, that's www.wegoted.com. And a perspective on the Ed Show by journalist and author John Nichols from MSNBC's Last Ed Show on Friday, the 31st of July, 2015. That was just Friday of last week. Also, we will discuss the Ed Show with the Spectrum 360 staff. We wish Ed Schultz great fortune in his post-Ed Show work. Remember, go to www.wegoted.com and iTunes for Ed Schultz's radio program podcast. We've still got Ed. Yeah.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Thanks for giving me a couple of minutes tonight. In case you hadn't heard, MSNBC has made it official. They have canceled the Ed Show.
Yes, they have canceled the Ed Show. So that's what we'll cover in segment one. Segment two, live, in studio and recorded, a Spectrum 360 news segment on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Wow, we covered this a lot in Spectrum 360. Co-host Terry Weeks will lead the Spectrum 360 discussion of the latest negotiation meeting just last week in Hawaii. And then the audio of a great video by U.S. Representative Alan Grayson from Central Florida on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, trade policy, and the Buffett Plan. This was an issue that Ed Schultz cared about and covered by one account 72 times on the 6 years of the Ed Show broadcast. Spectrum 360 will continue his work and our work to cover the Trans-Pacific Partnership fake trade treaty and educate the public on this issue. Last week on Spectrum 360, there was a technical problem with the broadcast of this segment. This week, we'll have this entire audio on this important issue. Here's a preview.
And let's rebuild the American middle class. I'm Congressman Alan Grayson. If we work together, we can make America a paradise.
Then segment three, recorded another Jim Hightower commentary about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and President Obama. Stay tuned for important information regarding this fake trade agreement. Don't you just love Jim Hightower? And he's now a regular feature every week on Spectrum 360. And then segment four, recorded the speech by Bernie Sanders to about 3,500 meetings of campaign supporters attended by about 100,000 people. That was streamed live on the internet on Wednesday, the 29th of July, 2015, all across the country. That was just Wednesday of last week. Spectrum 360 has the audio of that speech and will broadcast it on this program. Exciting and unprecedented. Yeah.
Join me now in welcoming our candidate for President of the United States, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Woo. So that's the program. On next week's Spectrum 360, another part of the Janet Long speech and more. We were going to broadcast that part three of the Janet Long speech on this program, but it was just so jam-packed we had to reschedule it for next week. We will finish the speech, and it is good, and you should listen. That'll continue next week, along with more other Spectrum 360 great features. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program, and also remember the Spectrum 360 podcast. Go to www.internetradiopros.com, scroll down to the Spectrum 360 link, click on it, choose the program date of your choice. Listen to Spectrum 360. Woohoo! That's the program.
If you'd like Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor. Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
Nothing to tell now. Let the words be yours. I've done with mine. Let it be well now. Let your life proceed by its own design. Nothing to tell now. Let the words be yours. I've done with mine.
And now, Spectrum 360 for the 3rd of August, 2015, a Monday. Of course, Spectrum 360 is always broadcast on Mondays at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Segment one, our discussion of the end of the Ed Show on MSNBC. This is a Spectrum 360 news segment. Of course, on July 16th, Ed Schultz, the host of the Ed Show, was contacted by his boss, and he was told that MSNBC was canceling the Ed Show from its broadcast lineup, its broadcast schedule, weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And that ended the program. Ed stopped hosting the program at sometime after that. He did not host it for approximately the last week, which was last week of the program, which was last week, literally. And Michael Eric Dyson hosted the program for the last week for the last five programs of the Ed Show. And then the show was ended completely. Now, Ed Schultz also has a podcast, which he does now. He used to have a radio program on terrestrial radio, and now he has a radio program on the internet. It's a Ed Show podcast, and you can get that at www.wegoted.com. So Ed Schultz will continue his 30-plus year career in broadcast media via radio, and he will be doing a lot of coverage. So we encourage people to listen to that podcast as well as our own at internetradiopros.com. And support Ed now that the Ed Show on MSNBC has ended. Now, this is Ed's goodbye message about the ending of the Ed Show that he posted on his website as a individual podcast with just this message. He did not actually say goodbye on the air on television on MSNBC on the Ed Show. He just left, and then Michael Eric Dyson hosted the program for the last week. And this is Ed's final goodbye regarding the Ed Show.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Thanks for giving me a couple of minutes tonight. In case you hadn't heard, MSNBC has made it official. They have canceled the Ed Show, and I will no longer be hosting the Ed Show or any show on MSNBC. I'm going to miss it, no question about it. I was informed of this on July 16th by the man who hired me, Phil Griffin, and I'm grateful for that. He told me that MSNBC in the 5 o'clock hour Eastern Time was going to go in a different direction, and I was no longer in their future plans, and thanked me for the work I did on the network, and I certainly appreciate it. Phil hired me over 6 years ago. I did everything they asked me to do. I enjoyed it. It was quite a life experience. But in business and in broadcasting and cable, things change. Directions change, and it affects people's lives and careers. And I want you to know that I'm very appreciative of the opportunity that was afforded me, and it was quite a life experience, no doubt. I will move on to do other things on different platforms. I hope you'll follow my work here at WeGotEd.com. I plan on being in this election cycle in a big way, covering stories all over the country in Wisconsin and Ohio and Florida, and bringing you a lot of content on this website. And no doubt I'm going to miss it, but I understand it, and things happen, and with change comes opportunity. With opportunity comes a challenge, and I'm up to the challenge to do something different, and who knows where I may end up. But I won't be on MSNBC, and I'm going to miss MSNBC, no doubt. I'm a big fan. They're great people, great professionals, and they just want to do something different at 5 o'clock. I accept that. To the viewers of the Ed Show, I want you to know that this was never about me. It was about you. And I tried to focus on things that were important to American families and American workers and the issues that were pertinent of our time. And I feel comfortable about the fact that I know in my heart I'm the same guy walking out the door that walked in some 6-plus years ago. And I hope that you'll follow my work at WeGotEd.com. To the staff, they've been absolutely outstanding. They're hardworking young professionals that have got great careers ahead of them. And some of them have been with me since the day I walked in the door. And they've been very loyal, and I consider them friends. I didn't want to say anything on the air because it's never been about me. I thought I'd choose this venue to say my goodbyes. I don't like long goodbyes anyway. And by the time you're watching this, I'm already in Canada catching fish and probably having a cocktail, thinking about what my future is going to be like. And it will be bright. We'll do a lot of things on this website. I'll have a lot of commentary and a lot of coverage. So I'll be okay. I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me. I've had a good run. I've had a lot of fun. And there have been a lot of challenges along the way that I think I have met with character. Thanks for watching. And hope you join me here at WeGotEd.com.
So that was the goodbye message that Ed posted as a podcast on WeGotEd.com. And that was his goodbye, ending the Ed Show on MSNBC. I'm very sad to find out that the Ed Show was ended. And there is a petition online on the MoveOn website to restart the Ed Show and continue it. So if you're interested in that, go to the MoveOn.org website and sign the petition. I believe their goal is to get at least 5,000 people to sign the petition, and hopefully we'll get a lot more. I have signed it myself. I encourage all other people that liked or loved the Ed Show and Ed to sign that petition, see if we can restart the program. I think, my personal opinion, it's a mistake. And from the last Ed Show, which was this last Friday, 31 July 2015, just Friday of last week, the final broadcast segment was with host Michael Eric Dyson and the journalist John Nichols, the great John Nichols. I've met him before. He's a great guy, author of the book Dollarocracy, which is a great book. I recommend that. This is the final segment of the Ed Show where John Nichols talks about the Ed Show and Ed and the importance of the program and the meaning of it to people all across the country over the last 6 years. This is 2 minutes, 55 seconds, and we'll return.
So what has the Ed Show meant for middle-class Americans over these last 6 years?
I want to tell you something, my friend. This show has been an essential part of the struggle of working Americans to have their voices heard. And if this show wasn't around, I think some fundamental issues like trade policy would not have been explored as deeply as they need to be explored. But more importantly, as a Wisconsinite, I have to say that when the uprising came against Scott Walker and when some very brave teachers and farmers and snowplow drivers and nurses went out in the middle of the winter to stand up for workers' rights, Ed Schultz came and stood with them. And that was a pretty darn important thing, perhaps one of the most important moments I've seen in American media.
He's a big fellow with an even bigger heart, no? And he's given his life and devoted commitment to the causes of working class and middle class people. That's something that's pretty extraordinary in any class, but especially among some of those talking heads out there.
And I also want to say something, if I can, about Ed's courage. He has had the courage over the years to do things that were hard. Most hosts like to be steady on what they've said. They don't change. They don't acknowledge that they are imperfect. But Ed Schultz, on the issue of the Keystone Pipeline, was a supporter of Keystone. And then, via his viewers, his listeners, and his guests, he began to evolve on the issue to recognize the environmental concerns that were in play, but also the reality that Keystone didn't deliver for workers in the way that some people had said it would. And he made a fundamental change there. And so this guy who has stood up for workers has also stood up for the environment. He's stood up on climate change. The fact of the matter is, you don't find many people like that in media. You don't find many shows like this. This is a precious show that has meant a tremendous amount to an awful lot of working people and just an awful lot of Americans for whom there aren't a lot of voices, there aren't a lot of vehicles by which their concerns, their fears, and their growth as human beings can be reflected in a show.
Well stated, eloquently articulated. John Nichols, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you for having me on.
That's the last Ed Show. I'm Michael Rick Dyson in for Ed Schultz. Please follow my brother Ed at We Got Ed.
And that is the final segment of the Ed Show as it was broadcast with temporary host Michael Eric Dyson and the great journalist John Nichols. I also have a great John Nichols video that I produced and was the videographer for and producer for and editor for that's on Vimeo. Just search, go to Vimeo and just search Mark Skogman. S-K-O-G-M-A-N is how my last name is spelled. And you can see a great John Nichols video from August 2013, August, where he addresses what's happening in the country. And it's a great video. It's about 40 minutes of John Nichols. Great video, great guy. Very funny, too, at times. So I recommend that as well. And I want to open up the discussion with the Spectrum 360 staff, with Terry Weeks and Chelsea Kingsford. Okay, you two, your thoughts on the Ed Show and Ed Schultz.
I am really going to miss Ed Schultz at 5 o'clock. He was definitely an advocate for the working class. He talked more about labor issues, about income inequality, than really any of the other hosts on MSNBC. And as you pointed out, and we talked about this on our last show, he also talked extensively about the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yes.
Most of the other MSNBC hosts mentioned it rarely, if at all. Ed was on it all the time. Some speculate that that could be why his show was canceled, because the owner of MSNBC, Comcast, is a strong advocate of that trade deal. But he will definitely be missed.
So, a question. Going off, if that is the fact, the reason why he was removed, because he said some not nice things about the TPP, why leave a goodbye so quietly and peacefully if you have the power of the air in your hands?
Well, number one, he's a broadcaster. He's going to be doing ongoing broadcast work, and he wants to keep a good relationship with the network that might possibly hire him again to host another program or do something else in the future. Also, people that have watched the Ed Show know that 1 to 2 years ago, Ed's wife was diagnosed with cancer, and she is a cancer patient that has ongoing cancer treatment. And I'm sure when you lose your job, of course, health care insurance can be an issue, and that he's got to be careful there, because he needs health insurance, especially that's going to cover his wife who's ill with cancer and her medical treatment. So he's got to be careful there, and I think that's probably one of the reasons. But Ed is also a nice guy, and he's smart, and he realizes he doesn't have a lot to gain from being very negative about the end of the program. But there has been speculation about that. We covered that on last week's Spectrum 360 about what the reason may be, and I strongly suspect that that is the reason, because, you know, according to one count, Ed Schultz covered the Trans-Pacific Partnership 72 times on his program. Now, we've covered it a lot on this program. We're probably approaching that number by now, but that's a lot of coverage for a single issue on one program.
And that 5 o'clock spot now is going to go to Chuck Todd, who is definitely far more a mainstream kind of broadcaster than Ed Schultz, definitely less progressive, in fact, not really known for taking strong stands on anything. So apparently that's the direction that the network wants to go at this point.
And I want to say one last comment in this segment about Ed Schultz himself. I met Ed personally last year, 2014, in November, on general election night. He was actually... He was in St. Petersburg at the hotel where Charlie Crist conducted his watch party and made his announcements, his concession speech. And Ed was there, and I had the honor and the pleasure of meeting him in person and speaking with him. I asked him about his wife's health, and he said she's hanging in there. So that's good, and she's in our thoughts and prayers in her recovery from cancer. And he was very gracious to me, and it was a pleasure to meet him in person. So that was great. I really enjoy him. I really like him. I love the Ed Show. It was a great program, and I'm sorry to see it gone. And he also went to college in Minnesota at Moorhead State. And I did most of my college work at St. Cloud State, which was on the both of those cities, and both of those universities are in western Minnesota. St. Cloud is supposedly near the area where the fictitious town of Lake Wobegon is, that was created by Garrison Keillor. So some interesting insights there. So as a Minnesota boy, at least in terms of his education, and he was an All-American football player as well. Rather interesting. Okay, we've got to go to the next segment. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll get right to it. Except I want to give one last tribute to Ed Schultz, and it's a segment of this song.
Yeah.
If you say what you want to say, then let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave. What you want to say, then let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave. I just want to see you. I just want to see you.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
And now, segment two, live and in the studio and recorded, a Spectrum 360 news segment on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, hosted, led by Spectrum 360 co-host and associate producer, Terry Weeks.
All right. Well, the fourth set of Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations just concluded in Hawaii. And as always, the talks were greeted with protesters from around the world. Over 400 protesters blew conch shells on Kaanapali Beach in Maui to demonstrate their opposition to the trade agreement.
Yeah, that was so great.
It was a great scene. One of the protesters was actually a former agriculture minister from Japan, Masashiko Yamada. And he shared that he'd been fighting the agreement back home for the past 5 years. He led the crowd in chants of Stop TPP and Gambaro, which is Let's Do It in Japanese. Now, this fourth negotiation was called Do or Die, and it was supposed to conclude the deal. But there's good news for the people and the planet. No deal was reached in Hawaii. New Zealand stated that it wasn't going to support a deal that didn't significantly open dairy markets in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Australia wants a shorter period of time for patent protection of new drugs. Japan and the U.S. are still trying to agree on the rules of origin for cars. Now, under the fast-track bill that we passed last month, various congressional notice and report filing requirements, they add up to about 4.5 months between notice of a final deal and a congressional vote. So what this means now, they don't have a final TPP. They're not able to give immediate notice to Congress. So it is already too late for a TPP vote in 2015. Yay.
Woo-hoo.
That's great news.
Woo-hoo.
And pushing this vote back into the 2016 presidential election cycle is going to complicate things considerably. Recent polling indicates broad opposition to the TPP among Republicans, Democrats, and independents. So it's not an issue most candidates really want to get into. Hillary Clinton has been very cagey about it. She's been trying to avoid directly answering the question of whether she supports the TPP. Bernie Sanders strongly opposes the trade agreement, as does U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And recent polls of other TPP nations show that outside of Vietnam, the deal doesn't have strong support anywhere. Congressional support is also pretty shaky. On July 30th, 19 pro-fast-track Democrats sent a letter out laying out the necessary environmental terms for an acceptable deal. On July 29th, 18 pro-fast-track Democrats sent a letter about lack of enforcement in current and future trade agreements. They're already wanting to sanction Peru for violations of environmental terms in a pre-existing treaty with the U.S. 12 Democrats who supported Fast Track and 12 GOP members were among the 160 representatives that signed a letter denouncing Malaysia's inclusion in the TPP and the upgrading of Malaysia's human trafficking status. They think that their violations of human rights that exist there do not make the country a good candidate for inclusion in the TPP. And also a number of representatives and senators have expressed concern about the possibility of currency manipulation and currency cheating. So what the message is here, basically, let's keep up the pressure. Outside of the 600 or so corporate interests that are at the table and whom it benefits, it doesn't seem like too many people want this trade deal. Call your elected officials. Let them know you think the TPP is a bad deal for America.
Chelsea, your thoughts?
Sorry, my brain just went boop.
Well, we can go to the next.
Yes. I was just like, just hearing this stuff about the TPP, this is like, it reminds me of when I was growing up watching all the stuff like, you know, Max Headroom and Blade Runner and all the stuff dealing with our future. And it's like, it's now. And if we want a future like that, then don't do anything. If we don't want a future like that, then
do something.
We need to get off our butts and make sure that we're supporting the right president. Make sure we're being a pain in the butt to our congressmen, our senators. Do something about it, or else we're going to basically be turning into Soylent Green.
You can't just wish and hope for something to come true. You have to make it happen.
Okay, now here is the audio of the video that we played last week. We only played about half of it because of a technical problem. We have the entire audio from the video this week. This is 10 minutes and 18 seconds of Alan Grayson on the fake trade agreement, Trans-Pacific Partnership, and trade in general, and the Buffett plan. Enjoy.
In the best of the rest of the news, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, will be the most progressive trade bill in history? Well, according to President Obama, it will be, who reiterated what's become his latest TPP talking point at a joint press conference with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Check it out.
This will end up being the most progressive trade bill in history. It will have the kinds of labor and environmental and human rights protections that have been absent in previous agreements. It's going to be enforceable. It's going to open up markets that currently are not fully open to U.S. businesses. It's going to be good for the U.S. economy. And because I always believe that good policy ends up being good politics, I'm confident we're going to end up getting the votes in Congress.
So will the TPP, or as I prefer to call it, SHAFTA, really end up being the most progressive trade deal in human history? Probably not, says Florida Congressman Alan Grayson, which is why he's just released a new video explaining what's wrong with the TPP and the so-called free trade in general. Congressman Grayson personally contacted me yesterday to suggest that we share this live video with you tonight, or share this video live with you tonight here on The Big Picture. This is an RT exclusive and the world media premiere of Congressman Grayson's rollout of the Buffett plan. Here it is.
I'm Congressman Alan Grayson. I want to explain why the current debate about foreign trade is the key to a better future for you and everyone you care about. Trade is a simple concept. You sell me yours and I'll sell you mine. At least that's the way it used to be. I can remember when our food, our clothing, our cars, our TVs, our appliances, and the homes we lived in all were made in America, proudly made in America. In the old days, the production worker who made an American refrigerator took his paycheck and paid the rent. His landlord went to a restaurant, ordered a good meal, and left a nice tip. The waiter who served the meal saved up, and he bought that refrigerator. That's how our economy worked, and that's how it thrived. Ordinary working people made enough money to afford a house, a car. They earned paid sick leave, health coverage, and a pension, and they could pay for their children's college education. And they didn't have to worry that they could lose all of that overnight. But that's not the way things are today. Today, that American production worker, that landlord, and that waiter are all out of work. We've lost 5 million American manufacturing jobs and maybe 15 million other jobs during the past 20 years. What happened 20 years ago to change that? To ruin the middle class life that so many Americans enjoy? The North American Free Trade Agreement is what happened. NAFTA happened. Since NAFTA took over our lives, day after day, month after month, and year after year, Americans have bought trillions of dollars of goods and services produced by foreigners, but those foreigners have not bought an equal amount of goods and services produced by Americans. Not even close. In fact, these days, it's often hard just to find products that say, made in America. The difference between what we buy from them and what we sell to them, the trade deficit, has exploded. And that explosion has blasted the American middle class. Here are the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. For the past 14 years, our average annual trade deficit has been over half a trillion dollars. That's a deficit of more than $1,500 each and every year for every man, woman, and child in this country. This is not free trade. This is fake trade. I invite you to look back across history, all the way back to the Stone Age. I invite you to look all across planet Earth, that beautiful blue marble, all 193 nations, all seven continents. You will find that the 14 largest trade deficits in the history of mankind, all of them, are the U.S. trade deficits for the last 14 years. Here on the left was our trade balance between 1962 and 1992 before so-called free trade agreements. And here on the right, our trade balance since then. What sane person could look at these two charts and conclude that what America needs is more free trade? Today, we're creating millions, no, tens of millions of jobs in other countries with our purchasing power, while we're losing millions of jobs here in America because people in other countries are buying their own goods and services rather than ours. They're not creating jobs in America, but they're buying our assets, our stocks, our bonds, our mortgages, our homes, our farms, our coastlands, our big businesses, and our small businesses. Our debt to foreigners right now already totals more than $35,000 for every man, woman, and child in America. Already, 1/7 of all of the assets of our great nation, the result of 2 centuries of backbreaking labor and sacrifice, 1/7 of the assets in our nation are now owned, already owned, by foreigners. And ultimately, if we keep going the way we're going, they all will be. Because of fake trade, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And the end game? The end game is the end of America. Listen, we are in a deep, deep hole thanks to fake trade. A British minister once popularized what he referred to as the first law of holes. When you're in a hole, stop digging. Stop digging. We have to stop digging. The price tag already has reached $11 trillion, and it's rising by more than $1 billion every single day. The only ones who have benefited from this treachery are multinational corporations, and middle-class America has paid the price. It has to end, and it has to end now. But right now, the U.S. Trade Representative is seeking fast-track authority for trade agreements. That authority could prohibit congressional subcommittee hearings, subcommittee amendments, committee hearings, committee amendments, and amendments on the floor of the House. It could limit debate to 88 seconds for each member of the House. But that's not the deepest problem. The deepest problem is that it would put America deeper into that already very deep hole. It's the fast track to hell. That's why you have to direct your congressmen and your senators to vote against it. The U.S. Trade Representative also wants Congress to ratify giant new trade agreements, one with East Asia and one with Europe. This trade treachery would put our $30-an-hour workers directly in head-to-head competition against workers in Vietnam and Brunei, who are lucky to make 30 cents an hour. Free trade countries like that are free of health and safety rules and environmental protection, free of Social Security, pensions, and health care, free of child labor laws, free of the right to organize, and even free of the rules against slave labor. This trade treachery also would give special privileges to foreign corporations that neither American corporations nor any living, breathing human beings enjoy. It would set up special tribunals before the World Bank and the United Nations, populated by corporate lobbyists pretending to be judges, which could then award enforceable judgments against our federal, state, and local governments merely for enforcing our health, safety, and environmental laws. It would give away the sovereignty that our founding fathers fought and died for in exchange for nothing. But there is hope. Warren Buffett, the greatest investor of our lifetime, has offered a plan for liberating us from the trade deficit. He would require importers to obtain certificates for the goods and services they sell us. The charges for those certificates could be used to increase Social Security and Medicare benefits, rebuild our roads and schools, and cut our taxes. I support that plan, and I will be offering legislation to implement it. It is the light at the end of the tunnel for our economy. But for now, it's urgent that we prevent things from getting even worse. Write this number down, 202-224-3121. Call that number and you can reach your congressmen and your senators. To send an email to them, go to www.house.gov/representatives/find and put in your zip code. Tell them no to fast track, no to new trade agreements, and yes to the Buffett plan to reduce the trade deficit. One more important thing. Sign up at TradeTreachery.com so that we can keep you posted. And we'll let you know what else you can do to help. It's time to stop digging that hole any deeper. Let's fight back against this scheme that has robbed the American middle class now for decades. Let's fight it and let's defeat it right now while we still can. Let's put our workers back to work, earning a decent day's pay for a decent day's work. Let's heal our economy and heal our nation. Let's show our courage. Let's show our unity. Let's climb up out of that hole and let's raise ourselves up. And let's rebuild the American middle class. I'm Congressman Alan Grayson. If we work together, we can make America a paradise.
And that's the audio of the video by U.S. Representative Alan Grayson from Central Florida. He represents the Orlando area, and he's a great U.S. representative, and I hope he's going to make a great U.S. senator, because he has declared a candidacy for the U.S. Senate office in the state of Florida that's up for election in 2016. And we need to do a notification of full disclosures. This is Mark Skogman. I'm the executive producer and host of this program. I want to disclose that I have taken an editorial position on the Trans-Pacific Partnership against it many months ago, and definitely against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And also, I am a supporter of the U.S. Senate campaign of Alan Grayson. So those are notifications of full disclosure. And I'm also a supporter of the Bernie Sanders for President campaign. So these are disclosures that need to be made, and I've just done them. And staff, do you have any disclosures to make?
Well, I too, obviously, am a strong opponent of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I do support the candidacy of Alan Grayson and of Bernie Sanders.
Well, about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think, I was an undecided on Bernie Sanders because I wanted to do my research. So, full disclosure, we need to get this Bernie guy in the White House. We need to get things going. On the Allen, yes, I think he's really awesome. And at the TPP, it just sucks. We have to get rid of it.
Great. Okay, that completes that segment. And we'll be on to the next segment in just a moment. Okay, we're back right after this message.
I'd like to tell my Spectrum 360 listeners about my friends at Ocean 6. Ocean 6 is a company that provides a variety of high-quality packaged seafood, chicken, pork, and beef products, frozen, and delivered directly to the front door of your residence. It doesn't get any easier than that. The food is great, the service is excellent, and I am a customer of Ocean 6 myself. Lately, I've been enjoying using their seafood products, especially my favorites, the jumbo shrimp and the shrimp scampi. Good. To get yours, you can call the same man who provides Ocean 6 products for my family. His name is Mark, like myself, and you can call him at 727-623-8015. That's 727-623-8015. The Ocean 6 website is www.ocean6.net. Again, that's www.ocean6.net. Get it? .net. Like the net where that wonderful Ocean 6 seafood comes from. Call or click today and get yours.
And here's Jim Hightower for this edition of Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 3rd of August, 2015.
Like some vaudeville shtick, Barack Obama keeps blathering that a huge flaw in his global trade scam doesn't exist. But then, the flaw hits him in the face like a big cream pie. The president's trade scam is called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and it's a corporate boondoggle loaded with gotchas that hurt workers, consumers, our environment, and others. But its most damnable flaw is that it would allow foreign corporations to sue the U.S. in corporate-run tribunals to make us change or even repeal any of our laws that might pinch their profits. No, no, shouts Obama. There is no chance, zero chance, of that happening. But splat, splat, reality has smacked him in the face with two cream pies. Using an earlier trade scam, the World Trade Organization has ruled not once but twice this year that two U.S. laws must be repealed or modified to satisfy the profit goals of corporations in Mexico and Canada. On May 12, a WTO trade tribunal ruled that our dolphin-safe tuna labeling law, which lets you and me know that the tuna we buy has not been fished with nets that trap and kill dolphins, violates the free trade right of Mexican tuna fleets to use the cheaper dolphin slaughtering nets. And 2 weeks later, another WTO tribunal hurled a second cream pie. This one smacks Cool, an American consumer law that requires country of origin labeling on meat products so your family and mine can know where the meat we buy comes from. Our Congress passed this sensible right-to-know law. Our courts have upheld it. 92% of Americans support it, but a group of corporate lawyers on a WTO tribunal has overruled us. This is Jim Hightower saying, now Obama wants his TPP to create more corporate kangaroo courts. To tell him, don't TPP on me, go to tradewatch.org.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
It is our duty to fight!
It is our duty to fight!
Does the world have a belly button? I can't get this out of my head. 'Cause if it turns up in my yard, I tickle it so hard till the whole world's gonna laugh to wake the dead.
Okay, on to segment four for this edition of Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 3rd of August, 2015. This is the speech recorded by Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is running for president of the United States. And last week on Wednesday, which is the 29th of July, 2015, there were about 3,500 meetings conducted with about 100,000 people in attendance. It's unprecedented at this point in a presidential campaign for this to happen. And Bernie Sanders streamed a live speech from a house in Washington, D.C., that went all across the country about his candidacy for president. And this is the audio of that speech. This is part one, and we'll have part two on next week's program. So enjoy. This is Bernie Sanders speaking about why he wants to be president and what he wants to accomplish in the country with that administration.
Join me now in welcoming our candidate for president of the United States, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Thank you very much, Kemi. Thank you for that great introduction. The only problem with that introduction is in 2 minutes you gave my entire speech. Thank you. Let me begin, as Kemi said, by thanking the 100,000+ people in 3,500 locations all over America for coming out tonight. We think we're making history. We think that there has never been an organizing effort like this, this early in the campaign. So let me thank each and every participant for being part of the political revolution and for making history. I am often asked by the media. Media says, well, how come there is so much excitement in your campaign? Why is there so much enthusiasm? Why have so many people come out to your rallies? We've had great rallies all across the country. Why have we received over 300,000 individual contributions? And you know what the average contribution was? Not $1 million, not $500,000, $35. And People are asking me, how does it happen that all of these support groups are popping up all across the country? We read about them in the papers. We don't organize them. People all over the country are coming together, and that is just extraordinarily exciting and gratifying. And the answer I give when people ask me why all of this is happening is pretty simple. And that is, as Kemi said, enough is enough. The American people in our great country believe that our government should belong to all of us and not, as is currently the case, a handful of billionaires. Enough is enough. The American people are saying loudly and clearly, we cannot continue to have the most unequal distribution of wealth and income of any major country on earth. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that there's something immoral when the top one-tenth of 1% owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%, when almost all of the new income being created in America is going to the top 1 or 2%. The American people understand also that it is simply not right that major corporation after major corporation, many of whom are making billions in profits, pay zero, nothing, or very, very little in taxes because they stash their profits in the Cayman Islands. They take advantage of all of the tax haven loopholes that they have. The American people are saying enough is enough. We have got to reverse the decline of the middle class over the last 40 years. And people are asking, how does it happen that with all of the new technology out there, all of the increase in productivity that workers are producing, how does it happen that millions of people are working longer hours for lower wages? In my state of Vermont and all across this country, people are working two jobs, they're working three jobs, just to cobble together necessary income and health care to sustain their families. How does that happen? Why does it happen? Why are people working longer hours for lower wages? Enough is enough. We cannot continue to maintain a minimum wage in this country of $7.25 an hour. That is a starvation wage. And we need to move the minimum wage to a living wage of $15 an hour over the next few years. It is not a radical idea. It is not a radical idea to say that if somebody works 40 hours a week, that person should not be living in poverty. That family should not have to be going to an emergency food shelf in order to get food to sustain the family. Enough is enough. Real unemployment in America is not 5.3%, it is 10.5%. And the real tragedy, one of the great tragedies that we are experiencing, which we do not talk about at all, is youth unemployment. Recent study came out, and this is what the study said. For kids between the age of 17 to 20 who have graduated high school, if they are white, their unemployment rate is 33%. If they are Hispanic, 36%. If they are African American, 51%. In other words, we are turning our backs on our entire generation of young people. And if anyone thinks it is a coincidence that we end up having more people in jail than any other country on earth, you would be mistaken. And it seems to me that instead of having 5.5 million young people throughout this country with no jobs, no schooling, that maybe it makes a lot more sense for us to be investing in jobs and education rather than jails and incarceration.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Yes, I believe that enough is enough, and that's why I support the candidacy of Bernie Sanders. Notification of full disclosure. Okay, we've come to the last 2 minutes of this program. Chelsea and Terry, your final thoughts.
Well, for one thing, I just want to wish a very happy birthday to a good friend of the show, John Alexander.
Yay!
His birthday is today. For three more minutes, I'm glad you're out and about and healing.
One thing I'd like to say is to our brothers and sisters in Pasco County and in Tampa and in the other areas of Florida that's being bad weather right now, we love you. Stay safe. Thank you so much, Mark.
Very good. Thank you. And remember, on next week's Spectrum 360, part two of the Bernie Sanders speech and part three of the Janet Long speech and more coverage of current events in and around Tampa Bay, the state of Florida, and the nation, the country of the United States. So we'll meet again next week. Listen next week for another Spectrum 360. Woohoo!
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.